Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Starts right now on the BetMGM Network. I'm Kelsey Messenger. He's PJ Glasser in for Jenks. And coming up in the next hour, we'll start with our big takeaways from the Cowboys' rout of the Raiders. Are the Raiders really that bad? My goodness, they have 2 wins on the season, and they had, what, a total of 27 rush yards last night? We'll give you our big takeaways from that game. And then at 8:20, we bring in Tom Carroll, who covers the Patriots for WEEI, because I think a lot of us have a lot of questions when it comes to the Patriots. Are they for real? Should we trust them in the postseason? Should Drake May be named MVP of the league? So it's all coming up next here on The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. All right, PJ. So not much of a game last night, but I don't think any of us had super high hopes for 2 teams with losing records on Monday Night Football. But the Cowboys do get the job done 33-16. Dak Prescott had himself a night, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, and huge nights for his receivers, most notably George Pickens, 9 catches, 144 yards, and a touchdown. So I think that we knew that the Cowboys offense certainly had this potential, but like, is the bigger takeaway how bad the Raiders were last night?
Yeah, I think it has to be, especially because, I mean, we talked about it, how Vegas was averaging 15.5 points per game going into yesterday. They scored 16. But they're going up against one of the worst defenses in the NFL. And Jerry Jones at the trade deadline made the move for Quinn and Williams, which definitely helped. It definitely improved their defensive line. Their run, even though the Raiders didn't really try and run the ball last night, their run defense was still pretty good. They were getting more pressure against Geno Smith. But this is all about the Raiders, and this is all about Geno Smith. And moving forward, what Vegas is going to do. I mean, they need a lot of help on their roster. Really, Brock Bowers and Max Crosby are the only bright spots. Those are the kind of 2 cornerstones that you look at that you can build around on each side of the ball. But they need a lot of help. They need to start nailing draft picks. And, you know, the Raiders are going to be in an interesting situation going into the offseason, Chelsea. We haven't talked about this yet, but they make the trade for Geno Smith. And if you were the Vegas front office, would you try and go get a guy like Kyler Murray in the offseason? Like, would you take the route of going after a veteran quarterback? Or the fact that you're 2-8, I mean, do you think that Vegas should go after one of these quarterbacks in the first round next year? Because it's a lost year now. It's more of the same stuff. Every week they struggle to score points. They do need a lot of help. They do need a receiver. But I think Vegas, like this year in the draft, might be looking at getting a quarterback first round, wide receiver second round, give yourself a franchise guy, hopefully under center, give yourself a receiver, a playmaker that you can help build around. You went out and got Genty, you got Bowers the last 2 years, now it's time to get the quarterback, it's time to get the wide receiver and go from there, because it's a terrible product that they're putting out every week, and if they can't take advantage of the Dallas defense and put up points against them, it's going to be brutal for them each and every week moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's going to take more than 1 year's draft class to fix the Raiders. like, it's similar to my thoughts on, like, the Titans, is that, like, I talk about this all the time because I'm a Titans fan. Me and my husband are like, okay, what do we need in this year's draft? Like, we don't need to win any more games. Let's see what we need. We don't need a quarterback, but we need just about everything else, because that's what it feels like to the Raiders to me, is that they do have, you know, a couple bright spots, but the NFL is the ultimate, like, team game where you need, you know, guys at every position. And I do think the offensive line is not great either, because Geno Smith was under a lot of pressure. And here's the other question I want to ask. Do you think the Cowboys defense is better than maybe people give them credit for? Because I will say this, Quinnen Williams looks like he has made a difference on that defensive line, and you heard the announcers calling his name all night long. Granted, against a Raiders offense that's bad and the offensive line isn't really stopping anybody, maybe there's not many takeaways there. But again, like, we're talking about two losing teams. So I know that, like, this talk is not, you know, going to be parlayed to the postseason probably. But again, in the short term, talking about the Cowboys and maybe, like, what we think of them moving forward just from a betting standpoint, do you think this defense is going to be better down the stretch, or do you think it's just a product of playing the Raiders?
I do think it's going to be better. It's tough to know. You know, I mean, it's tough to know when you're going up against the Raiders offense. I mean, and they're, like, you look at their last few games, you know, and if you go all the way back to the Colts game in week 5, they scored 6 against Indy, 20 against the Titans, shut out against Kansas City, had 29 against Jacksonville, but then 7 against Denver, and 16 last night against Dallas. So they've scored 7 or fewer points in 3 of their last 6 games. And I do think Dallas is better. I think they've made improvements. And Jerry clearly has made an emphasis on the interior defensive line. When he traded away Micah Parsons, he got Kenny Clark, and now he's gone after Quinnen Williams. So he feels like the big fix to this defense is the interior line, and they have gotten better in that area. Again, going into last night's game, though, they were the worst against opposing wide receivers, one of the worst secondaries in the NFL, and they were bottom 3 against the run. So they're better, but I don't think they're better to a point where now all of a sudden, like, I'm rushing to bet unders with Dallas, or now I'm rushing the window to just bet them in general. Like, I still don't think this is a great defense, and I think when they go up against better teams, those teams will score points on the Cowboys. But I do think you will continue to see them make strides, and I think that moving forward, you know, the rest of the year, like, they are going to be a defense that gets better. Like, I look at the Bengals situation and how bad that defense is, and I don't think they're getting any better. I think Dallas is going to get better, and they're going to make improvements. So, still not a good defense, but it's going to be a better defense than what we've seen for most of the year.
Well, and here's the thing. They're going to be playing the top teams in the NFL for the next 3 games. So their next game, they play the Eagles. The game after that, they play the Chiefs. And then after that, they play the Lions. So here's the thing. The handicap on the Cowboys, I think, you know, even going into last night's game was, okay, they've got a chance against bad teams, but I'm not trusting them, even that offense, against the best defenses in the NFL. Because I fell into the Cowboys trap going against the Broncos. I put the Cowboys in a teaser saying, okay, at least this offense should be good. And they've got, like, these high-impact pieces that even against the best defenses, you would think that in garbage time, George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb can combine for a decent game. Wasn't the case. Cowboys lost by 20 points in that game. So I think you kind of was you were kind of leading into this in one of our other segments, is that maybe it's a good sell-high point on the Cowboys, where people saw that offense last night. And again, it's very easy to fall into the trap of thinking, wow, this is a great receiver core. How do they not score 30 points every single week? But we've seen this line for their next game, the Cowboys, just 3.5-point underdogs at home to the Eagles. Is this where you say, okay, we don't believe in the Cowboys, it's time to bet on the Eagles?
I think it might be, especially because the last two kind of times we've seen the Eagles have been primetime games against the Packers and the Lions, where they've scored a combined 2 touchdowns. So not only are you getting Dallas off a convincing performance where their offense looked good, defense looked improved. I mean, the Eagles, even though they beat 2 good teams, like, they have looked terrible. And the thing is, Chelsea, when you're a team like Philly that won the Super Bowl last year and looked so dominant doing it, and your defense was great and the offense was scoring a bunch of points, it's tough for people to look at a team like that and, you know, want to bet them, rushing to bet them to lay points. It's kind of similar with the Chiefs and how they've been the last couple years, where it's a team that continues to win, but we've seen so much of Mahomes and that offense look so great that when they're struggling to score points, it's kind of tough for us to just accept, like, that's who they are kind of thing. So I think even though Philly, like, they are a bad offense, I think this could be a nice matchup for them because, you know, they've played in two big games the last couple weeks against two decent defenses. Certainly the Packers on the road in Lambeau are a very good defense. But because kind of the Cowboys looked better than maybe they actually are, it feels like a nice spot for Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts has played really well against the Cowboys, especially in Dallas the last couple years. So I think this could be a nice spot for the Eagles. I don't know if I'm going to lay the 3.5 with them, but I think I might look at like their team total over on Sunday. It could be a play for me.
Yeah, speaking of totals, total in this game is 49.5. So odds makers, I think, are kind of expecting the Eagles to score some points, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think so for sure. You know, Dallas obviously being at home and how their offenses look for much of the year, they think they're going to score. When these two teams played all the way back in week one to kick off the season, it was like a 28-24 game. If you remember, that game was a shootout before we had the weather delay, right? So I think because of the matchup we had earlier and the way that Dallas's offense is playing, I think they're probably feeling like there are going to be some points. Do you think the under in that game is probably going to be the public side, the more popular play, just because of how Philly's offense has looked?
I don't think so, just because the public hates betting unders. And here's the other thing, like, this is an indoor game, and I feel like it always helps when, especially for like passing offenses for Dak Prescott, it's going to help the offenses, you know, to score some points. I will say 49.5 feels steep to me, just because I think the problem with betting on overs with the Eagles is that they're very similar to the Chiefs in this regard, that they're very good at taking up a ton of time on their drives. Like, what was it? I think it was their last primetime game where they had like an 8-minute drive, and although they didn't capitalize on it, I think Jalen Hurts like fumbled down the stretch. Again, they're very good at dinking and dunking their way down the field to where you look up and you're like, oh my God, that's the whole first quarter. So those are teams that I'm kind of wary on betting the over on, just because it's one of those things you don't really notice until you bet on it, that can play a huge role in totals.
Definitely. So I think I'll end up staying away from the total. Again, I don't want to overreact too much to one game against the Raiders for Dallas and some of the new pieces that they have on defense. And Philly, you know, I get it. The offense has looked really bad. They've looked bad more than they have been good this season, but they've really played well in these matchups against Dallas, and it is kind of a nice spot to buy in on their offense because of how putrid they've looked in the last couple primetime games. So I'm staying away, but I think my lean probably would be to the over. I'm tend to agree with you, Chuss. I think we might get some points in the game.
Yeah, and let me say this. The Eagles are going to rush for more than 27 yards. I think we can guarantee that. PJ, I still can't wrap my brain around this. The fact that the Raiders only had 27 rush yards last night, like, this feels like it would be a box score from an Alabama versus the Citadel game. Like, what are you doing? I know it's a losing games grip, but you still have to at least try to run the ball. Like, what's Chip Kelly thinking?
Geno Smith had the most rushing yards last night for the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't think that's a good thing if you're a Raiders fan, right?
No.
Genty had 7. Mostert had 6. Your running backs carried the ball 8 times. You threw it 42 times, and you only ran it 8 times with your running back. Like, that is just an atrocious game play, especially off a bye week. I mean, you've had 2 weeks to kind of look at this defense, think about your game plan, how you're going to attack it. And they thought their best plan of attack would just be to just drop Geno back 40-plus times and throw it all over the field with Brock Bowers as, like, your only decent wide receiving option. It really is puzzling. It makes no sense. And I think Chip Kelly's a really good play caller. But the Raiders' run game has been so bad this season, but that just doesn't mean, like, you abandoned it and, like, you don't go to it. You drafted Ashton Genty 6 overall because he was supposed to be a guy that you were going to lean on for much of the season. And it kind of feels like, I don't want to say the Raiders are just giving up on the run game, but they're like, we've had no success like all season. I get Dallas has a bad pass defense, but you can't just like lean into that. My thought is they have such a bad pass defense. Could you imagine if you're running the ball well and then you get the play action game going and then you're almost going to shred them even more than you would if you're not getting the run game going? So, yeah, I mean, that definitely contributed to the Raiders losing last night. That was just a horrendous offensive game plan from Vegas against Dallas. I think they overthought it way too much and they just thought, oh, the addition of Quinn and Williams and all this, like, we maybe can't run the ball and their pass defense is so bad, we'll just throw it all over the place. That was a bad game plan from Vegas.
Yeah, and it's not like Geno Smith was looking like all world out there. Like, in no world should Geno Smith be throwing the ball 42 times. That is not a winning game plan. Like, maybe if you have Matt Stafford, you can pull that off, but, like, oh my God, Geno Smith didn't look good either. Like, is Geno Smith officially washed? Like, are we out on Geno Smith?
I think so. And I liked him a lot in Seattle. I thought the Raiders were going to be a playoff team this season. I was buying in. I thought he was going to have a great year. I think he's cooked. I think it's over for Geno.
I think it probably does not help that he's playing on the Raiders, but, like, he didn't do much to help himself out either last night. So it was just an all-around absolutely terrible showing from the Raiders, looking like one of the worst teams in the NFL. All right, coming up next, from worst to best, we talk about the Patriots. Tom Carroll from WEEI joins the show to answer all of our burning questions on Drake May and the Pats. It's next on The Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, we're back. And it's time to talk about one of the most interesting teams in the NFL this year, and that is the New England Patriots. PJ Glasser in for Jenks today. In a few minutes, we'll tag in Tom Carroll, who covers the Patriots for WEEI. So, PJ, I've just been talking about this. I'm going to try to keep it professional and not sound bitter, but, like, the Patriots are good again. Like, it feels like it's been 2 seconds. Like, oh, man, you had, like, 3 tough seasons. Really feel for you guys up in Boston. That you had to face adversity for a few mere years. Meanwhile, some of us aren't even, like, to the level where, like, my Titans have never won a Super Bowl. like not a single Super Bowl. So like when I hear like Boston fans complain, like, yeah, we haven't been good for years. Oh, 3 years? Like try forever.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, they got it good in Boston. I think what annoys me more is that it looks like they have another stud at quarterback, you know? Like, it's one thing if they were good again, but it's like now they have to have, like, another really good quarterback, and especially another one in the AFC, as there isn't already enough. Like, can we get some good quarterbacks in the NFC? We're a little too crowded over here in the AFC. So I think that's what's annoying is not only are the Patriots good, but they got a really good young quarterback who's only going to get better and better. But yeah, I mean, look, they're 9-2. They've won 8 games in a row, and they're looking like they're going to be here to stay once again. So I'm with you. I wish it was a little longer where the Patriots were bad, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
It also does not help that I am a Titans fan and Mike Vrabel's just up there killing it. So it never feels great to see somebody leave your team and go to another team and just immediately be one of the best coaches in the NFL. All right, so with that glowing introduction, let's bring in Tom Carroll. Tough crowd, I know. Covers the Patriots for WEEI. So what's the feeling in New England right now? I understand it is a tough crowd to please just because you guys have won so many championships, but it feels like the season could not be going any better. Like, where is the positivity and where is the mindset for Patriots fans right now?
Yeah, look, vibes are high, and why wouldn't they be? This winning streak has been incredible to watch, even though the opponents haven't been all that solid. And you guys mentioned it. It's all about Drake May. The fact that this team seemingly has a franchise quarterback again is remarkable, given what you've seen across the rest of the NFL, where teams can go generations without replacing the guy, right? Like, look what's going on in Miami. Tua clearly isn't the guy. Look what's happened in Denver post Elway. It took them until, you know, Peyton Manning had that neck injury in Indianapolis to miraculously fall in their lap. I mean, it takes years and years and years to replace the all-time great most of the time. And here in New England, all they had to do was go through the Mac Jones speed bump, and now here's Drake May. So it's been really cool to watch and cover. I know maybe the rest of the country is kind of annoyed by it, but realistically, this franchise hasn't been all that great since really the middle of the 2019 season. If you guys remember, they started 8-0 that year, and then down the stretch, it didn't look great, and it culminated with a loss to Mike Vrabel in the playoffs at Gillette Stadium, Tom Brady's last game as a Patriot. And since then, it's been a lot of mediocrity. I know they went to the playoffs in 2021, but that was a lot of fool's gold. That was also a weak schedule that they were able to eat wins on, and Bill Belichick ended the way he ended. So they finally get the coach, they finally get the quarterback, and here we are, Patriots, as one of the two best teams in the AFC right now, record-wise.
Yeah, 9-2, Tom. So Drake May obviously has gotten all the headlines and the accolades, and rightfully so. He's had a terrific season. Outside of Drake, if you could pinpoint like one player on the Patriots who has meant the most to why this team has been so good this season, who else would you contribute a lot of the success to besides Drake May?
I'll give you a guy on both sides of the ball. We'll start on defense. Milton Williams has been spectacular, and him hitting the IR is actually a huge loss for this team. They have been so stout against the run, and he has been a massive part of that. He has been a force in the middle, and someone who came in with some question marks coming out of Philly because he was a guy that didn't have a ton of snaps for the Eagles last year. I think he only played 46% of the snaps on that Eagles defensive line, that vaunted Eagles defensive line. So coming in, people were saying, is he overpaid? Did they overpay because he just won a ring? No, it's not an overpay. The guy's one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL. So him being out the next 4 games is going to be a big loss for the Patriots. It's going to be interesting to see how they kind of deal with that over the next few weeks here. So that's who I'm going with on defense. On offense, I mean, he's a name that we all recognize. It's Stephon Diggs. The Patriots haven't had a receiver like Diggs since Edelman's last healthy season. They haven't had that sure-handed guy where when the ball is being thrown his way, you're pretty confident that he's going to catch the ball. And, you know, that's been a huge talking point here in New England for years because this organization has continually whiffed on drafting receivers and passing on receivers. You know, in Tennessee, A.J. Brown, one of those guys that the Patriots passed on that ended up getting drafted afterwards. That was the N'Keal Harry draft. They also passed on D.K. Metcalf and Terry McLaurin and a whole group of guys that year for a guy in N'Keal Harry who's no longer in the NFL. So Jalen Polk, the most recent example of that, they traded down with the Chargers, and then the Chargers picked Ladd McConkey in that spot. And Jalen Polk is, I don't know what he's doing right now in the Steelers. I assume he's still injured. So anyways, Stephon Diggs has been fantastic with Drake May. That chemistry has come together immediately. And, you know, two offseason acquisitions both hitting in a big way for New England.
It does feel like it's almost the team as a whole that just feels like it's, you know, the driving point. And you hear the phrase the Patriot way, and immediately you think of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and it's hard not to associate, you know, them with that. But to me, it almost feels like a resurgence of that, where it's like team first, and a lot of that is like the mentality of Mike Vrabel. But again, I'm not there in person, so I don't know the mentality of this team. Do you think the Patriot way is back?
Yeah, it's interesting that you frame it that way, because Vrabel has made a point to not sort of connect to those old messages. He never says do your job. He never says the Patriot way. He never says any of that stuff that used to be plastered on the walls when Bill Belichick was here. He's made a real emphasis to kind of create his own thing, his own culture. With that said, there's pieces of that culture spread around everything that they do. It's definitely a team first mentality, but the big difference for Vrabel is humanity really matters. And not to sound like, you know, really big picture sort of like earthy crunchy podcast on you, but he's always talking about valuing the guy, and, you know, they have a family, and if they need personal time to do X, Y, and Z, he's going to give that to them. But when they're there, they're working. And he coaches each guy differently. Like when Christian Barmore goes down with an injury in the game, that ends up not even being that serious of an injury, comes back on the field, I think, the next defensive series or the series after that. But when he's down on the field, he's over there like holding his hand and making sure he's okay. Like, you see big bad Mike Vrabel, you don't think of a guy that's like that, but he knows that every guy needs to be coached in their own special way because everyone is different. So it's been cool to see that because, again, you think of Mike Vrabel, the former linebacker, the former Bill Belichick guy, and you just don't think of him being this type of coach, but he really is a player's coach. And I think that that's been surprising to see in person, but he's like the perfect mix of like that hard-nosed guy while also being a player's coach. And I know it's early, so we're sort of in the honeymoon phase, but how can you not love what he's done so far with them at 9-2, given where this team was the last 2 years, winning 8 combined games in the last 2 years?
No, it's true. I mean, he's done a great job right in the mix to win coach of the year. Tom, I'm curious, like in Boston right now, who's the team that you think Patriot fans that you feel like is the biggest threat in the AFC? Because if the playoffs started today, the Ravens and Chiefs would both be out. I think people are expecting them when the playoffs roll around, both those teams are in. Certainly Buffalo, who's in your division at the top there. Denver's having a great year. Indy. It just feels like the AFC playoffs could go so many different ways this year. Who's the team that you think poses the biggest threat to New England?
So I'll give you sort of two answers here. Depending on how seeding goes, I know that Patriot fans do not want to play a playoff game in Denver. So if they can avoid playing in Denver, that would be their preference, because Tom Brady and Bill Belichick had a really hard time winning in Denver. It's always been kind of a house of horrors for the Patriots as an organization. Even back to the Elway days, this organization has struggled playing at Mile High. So if they can avoid playing in Denver, that's going to be key. I don't necessarily feel like this team would lose to Denver on a neutral site game or in Foxborough. I think these teams are pretty even, and I think ultimately the better quarterback would take them over the top. But in Denver, that's just always been a tough place for them to play. Outside of that, the Chiefs are always terrifying. So if the Chiefs are in the postseason, how do you bet against the Chiefs? I usually just make a blanket futures bet on the Chiefs as soon as the Super Bowl odds open. You know, the Super Bowl ends, the futures will open for the next year. I always immediately put money on the Chiefs for the next year. And that's worked out for me pretty nicely in the last few seasons. And, going into the Super Bowl this past year, I was like, wow, this is really going to work out for me again. And then obviously it didn't. Those are the two teams I would say Patriot fans are terrified of. I mean, they beat the Bills earlier this year, but the Bills have owned the Pats the last 5 years. So you can never count out Josh Allen. I mean, look what the guy did on Sunday. So, it's not like Patriot fans are sitting here cocky thinking they're going to cakewalk all the way to the Super Bowl. I think that Patriot fans with a brain recognize that the schedule has been easy. But it's okay to say, hey, the schedule's been easy, but also we have a great quarterback and a great coach. So, are they 9 wins good? Maybe not, but they're definitely an 11-10 win type caliber team that's just playing a weak schedule right now. So they might end up with more wins than what they actually are, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's all relative. And you look at the NFL this year, and it just feels like there's not that many dominant teams. So, like, maybe they do have a chance this year. And I did want to ask you this because you see this across other sports where I think it's already difficult to go from, like, a bad team to one of the best teams, but it's even harder to go from a bad team to winning it all in the span of 1 year. It almost feels like you almost need 1 year to like go to the postseason and lose in the first round or the second round or whatever, and then next year you come back and you have a better chance. We have like a minute left here, so not a ton of time, but do you think it's in the realm of possibility for the Patriots to win a Super Bowl this year?
I don't see why not. Like you said, the field is completely open right now. I don't feel like there's a truly dominant team in either conference. So if you get in, I think you got a chance. So, yeah, I do think the Patriots could win a Super Bowl here. Am I putting money on it? No, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they come away with a 7th ring come February, whenever, when Super Bowl 60 happens.
And you guys have waited so long to claim a championship. I really feel for you. You've been wandering in the desert for so long. I know. The Patriots fans really deserve it. He is Tom Carroll. He covers the Patriots for WEEI. We know it's a busy time of year. So thank you for your time, and thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Tom.
I hope I didn't sound too bitter there. But, like, if they won the Super Bowl this year, you're like, come on, man. Give somebody else a chance. But it does feel like if there is ever a time for a changing of the guard, because it has been like the Chiefs, it's been the Bills. The AFC Championship has basically been like the Chiefs Invitational. If there's ever a year where it feels like maybe the torch will be passed, maybe it's this year. The Chiefs might not even make the postseason.
I know, certainly could be. Again, that's why I think the NFL playoffs in general, but especially the AFC side, is just so, so interesting. All the teams that won their divisions last year in the AFC, none of them are currently winning them. Houston in the South, Baltimore in the North, Chiefs in the West, and then the Bills in the AFC East. So there's a ton of parity. There's a ton of teams that could be hosting playoff games that we haven't seen host playoff games here in recent years. And, I mean, we could see the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Bills all on the road potentially in the first round of the playoffs, or even the Ravens hosting like the Bills or the Chiefs in the first round. So it could be nuts, Chelsea, for sure. And I mean, like Tom said, you know, it just feels like one of those years you get in and you got a chance.
Yeah, if the Patriots win the Super Bowl this year, the Titans owner should be forced to sell. That's what my take is there. All right, coming up next, we've saved our best for last. Best bets come your way after the break here on the Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Final segment here on the Daily Tip on a Tuesday. I'm Chelsea Messenger, PJ Glasser, and for Jenks. In a few minutes, we'll get to our favorite plays of the day. And spoiler alert, we're going to be talking college hoops. I feel like a baby deer who's like wobbling on new legs for the first time when betting on college basketball, where I have to like double check things. And we just don't have that much ammo for our arguments, just because the numbers, you know, when you're three games into the season, it's really tough to like look at KenPom like, this is the 32 ranked team in the nation when it comes to 2-point percentage, you know, because you've only played three games. And a lot of it is like strength of schedule. But I will say, at least both of these teams, in the Michigan State and Kentucky team, have at least played like somebody. Like Kentucky's already played Louisville, lost to them 96-88. That was a big time matchup. Michigan State at least played Arkansas as a team with, you know, a little firepower. So at least we have seen them play against decent competition, but it does feel like tonight is like the biggest true test for some of these teams, at least the biggest test that we've seen thus far.
No, I agree. And yeah, don't be one of those people that only watch college basketball in March, you know? Like, yeah, March college basketball is the best, but like you get some terrific games early in the season too, and you're going to get two good games tonight. I am excited for this Michigan State-Kentucky game. I think it's going to be good. Even without Darren Peterson, I think the Kansas and Duke game should be great as well. It's awesome they're playing at MSG, so that's always the NBA arena that has the best college feel, is Madison Square Garden. So I'm excited to watch the games tonight. Should be really good. And yeah, I love these games early in the season, Chelsea, because this really is the closest thing that we get to March basketball, whether it be the conference tournaments or March Madness, when you get these neutral site games between these really good teams and you get multiple fan bases in the arena and all this kind of thing. So it should be a fun night of hoops. Excited to watch it.
It's wild to me, the stark contrast between watching NBA games and watching college, where you're like, oh my God, like these guys are playing for their lives out there. Do you see them? They're playing defense on every single possession. They're full court pressing. Are you kidding me? Then you watch the NBA game and it's like,
some rap song that's playing, and they're just dribbling it down the court. Luka Doncic takes like 17 seconds to get down the court. Looks like he's had a full like tour of Italy before he played this game. I know he slimmed down now, but still, he is not a fast-paced guy. So it's one of those things where it just feels like college basketball has so much energy.
It does. It does. I agree. I mean, yeah, the NBA, like you said, I mean, 24-second shot clock, just constant pick and roll. Guy comes off a screen, kicks it out, three-pointer, right? I mean, college basketball, like, I mean, some of these coaches, like Dan Hurley, is living and dying with every possession. I mean, he is just screaming his head off constantly. So it's awesome, especially in these kind of games. Because, you know, like NBA, I mean, this time of year, like the intensity really isn't there. But college basketball, like these games tonight, I mean, you're going to see it. So I'm excited. And I like both games, honestly, from a betting standpoint, Chelsea. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting some good numbers on some of these underdogs tonight.
Do you ever think that the player's popularity is going to pass up the head coach popularity in college basketball? Like, as you see some of these, like, big-name head coaches, you know, exit stage left, because we saw Coach K leave, we saw Roy Williams leave, and eventually it's going to be that time for, you know, Tom Izzo, he's getting older. Do you think it's always going to be, like, the figurehead is the head coach, though? Because I feel like that's such a staple in college basketball, is that when you think of, you know, the biggest names in college basketball, you always think of coaches.
Yeah. You do. I think it definitely depends on the program, and it also depends on the player, right? So if you get a freshman of like Zion's caliber or Cooper Flagg's caliber or somebody like that, I would say at their specific program, then definitely they're kind of the headliner. They're the person that you think of. And then for a certain program, like, yeah, you think Michigan State, I mean, you're thinking Tom Izzo. You think Kansas, you're thinking Bill Self. Like, you think about certain programs, you're thinking of those head coaches. So I think it depends. I think, yeah, because I mean, nowadays, some of these Hall of Famers are starting to get up there in age that it's closer to the end for a lot of them than in the middle or the beginning, that I think maybe we see more and more players. But especially with Transfer Portal 2, you know, I mean, you could be great with the program for 1 year, and then another school offers you $4 million, and then you can be out the door. So I think it's still going to be, for the most part, a coach's are kind of the faces of the sport and are the people that you think of when you think of programs. But definitely you make the exception for certain players.
Yeah. I think also it's just because they're not there for very long. You know, it's hard to have somebody as the face of a franchise when it's like, okay, we knew him for a year. He was great. Yeah, but that was 1 year. Meanwhile, some of these coaches have been there for 30 years. So I don't know if that's something that's sustainable either. But again, like if you're somebody making the graphics and you're like, hey, we're going to paint a mural of somebody, you know, across campus. Are you going to pick somebody who's going to be there for 1 year and then they go to another school? You have to paint a new mural.
Exactly. I know. It's crazy to think what, like, some of, like, if Cooper Flagg played like 4 years of college basketball, like how good he would be, you know, or some of these people. So, yeah, the product's still really, really good, though. And we have some terrific freshmen this year in college basketball, and people will get a chance to see some of them tonight. So, should be a lot of fun.
The diaper dandies. All right. Indeed. So without further ado, let's get to our favorite bets of the night.
Time to place your bets.
All right, PJ, why don't you get us kicked off here with your favorite college hoop play of the slate.
Let's go with Michigan State, +5.5 against Kentucky tonight. I really like the Spartans. I think they're live in this game. I take a look at the money line as well. I have a fear that it's the same old Kentucky this season, Chelsea. And what I mean by that is I don't think their defense is going to be championship caliber. That's what got so many people excited about this Kentucky team. You know, there are certain coaches in college basketball, like Mark Pope with Kentucky, Nate Oates with Alabama, Mark Few with Gonzaga. Like, you know, these teams every year are going to be elite offensively. It's just a question of how good are their teams going to be on the defensive side of the floor. And that's how you win big games like this. And that's how you ultimately go to the Final Four and win national championships. And what I saw out of Louisville, I did not like if I was a Kentucky fan. I thought their defense would be much better. Now, they are missing one of their best defenders, maybe their best defender, one of the best rim protectors in college basketball, in Jaden Quintons, who transferred over from Arizona State. Not expected to play in the game tonight. And I think because of that, again, going up against the Tom Izzo team in Michigan State, who prides himself on being physical, being the tougher team, rebounding the basketball, getting all those 50-50 balls, diving on the loose floor, all that kind of stuff. is just not the best matchup for Kentucky. So I think it's going to be fun to see Kentucky against this kind of team to see if they're almost kind of tough enough, if they can kind of win this type of game in the mud. But something we talked about earlier, when you get this kind of game with contrasting styles and one team that wants to play a game in the 90s and another that wants to play the game in the 70s, and the total is a 153.5, so it's kind of in the middle, but more so feels like a Michigan State-type game to me. I think Sparty's the right side in the game. So I like them plus the points, 5.5. And again, think plus 180 on the money line, worth a look as well.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a squad play. So best bet for me also is going to be the Spartans getting the 5.5 against Kentucky. And we talked about how much we think coaching matters at the bookends of the season, where it's the very start and the very end when you think of March Madness. So early in the season, it's tough to get your rotation set. It's tough to draw up game plans for some of these players who are new. But if anybody can do it, it's Tom Izzo, especially when you're talking about a big primetime matchup in Madison Square Garden, especially against a Kentucky team that, like you said, has struggled defensively speaking. Like, anytime you give up 96 points to somebody, I know Louisville is good, but still, it is not great when your defense is giving up that many points. And plus, I think Michigan State can be even better, offensively speaking. They've been really great down low so far with Jackson Kohler, but their three-point shooting has been abysmal. Like, one of the worst three-point shooting teams we've seen in a three-game sample size, shooting 21% from the three-point line. But I do think we do see some regression because, again, we are only three games into the season. So if they can hit some threes, that'll make their inside game even more effective. And I do think they have the physicality down low to hang with the athleticism of Kentucky. And plus, we've already seen a game of a similar kind of opponent for Michigan State. Arkansas, obviously, is not quite as athletic as Kentucky, but they do like running the four. They slowed that game down and won it 69-66. So that's what I'm expecting tonight. Let's go Michigan State getting the 5.5 against Kentucky. All right, one more big game on the card tonight. And PJ, I think you're betting on it.
I am. I like Kansas plus 11.5. I just think this line is too much, too out of control. Darren Peterson for Kansas, probably not going to play. I think he's the best player in college basketball. I think he's the best freshman. I think if I was an NBA GM, he'd be my number one pick if I was a team. So he's the real deal. He's awesome, and he's not going to play in this game. And because of that, I think the line and the perception is that Kansas is now just a terrible team. What's telling to me, and the reason I'm betting Kansas in the game, Chelsea, is this game, Duke played Texas to open up the year in Charlotte on a neutral floor, and Duke was favored 11.5 in that game. And now Duke against Kansas without Darren Peterson, they're saying, is the same as Texas. I just don't agree with that. Bill Self is a terrific coach, and I like to back these kind of teams that play without their star player. They tend to play better than you think. Other guys step up. And, you know, Duke, obviously a big matchup like this, they're going to be up for it at MSG, but maybe a little bit of a letdown because you're not going up against Darren Peterson. So I think Kansas is going to be up to the challenge. I think that's too many points. So I do like the Jayhawks tonight, plus the 11.5.
Yeah, when I initially saw both of these lines, I thought these lines were going to be a lot shorter, especially this early in the season, where I feel like not chaos reigns supreme, but it just feels like there is less deciding between these two teams just because everybody's kind of figuring things out. So we'll see for Duke. I'm excited to watch them play. I at least do want to see the Boozer Twins in action. I have heard that at least Cameron is very skilled and technically sound. So even if you don't bet on these games, I think people should watch because, like, what else are you doing on a Tuesday? You're doing nothing.
Exactly. Got the college football playoff rankings too in between. Which should be interesting and should be fun. But yeah, I'm excited for these two games tonight. Rolling with both underdogs. I don't think Kansas is going to pull the upset, but I think Michigan State has a good chance of beating Kentucky tonight.
Yeah, I think so as well. So I am excited to dial into some college hoops, and I am glad that ESPN is finally back on YouTube TV, so I don't have to watch it on some janky stream that has like 1,000 pop-up ads. So I am excited for that. Are you jazzed about these college football rankings? I'm not a huge fan of like watching lists, but I am excited to see who's in it.
Yeah, me too. Obviously, as a Bama fan, as a Bama grad, want to see where we drop to. That's the biggest thing I'm looking for, but excited to see the rankings tonight, yeah.
Yeah, of course, we're going to talk about it tomorrow. That's all the time we have for today. For me, for PJ Glasser, have yourself a great Tuesday. We'll see you same time, same place, 6 a.m. in the East on the Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.